Welcome to Berkeley Light Church. Each one of you that's here and those that are watching through this broadcast, welcome to the name of the Lord. Amen. Today, I'm going to be speaking on something very beautiful about going to the other side. Going to the other side. That's the name of the message. Or needing to go over the other side. By this, I would like for you to open your Bible or your tablet or your phone. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35. Amen. We're going to be talking about going to the other side. I'm ready to go to the other side. How about you? We need to be ready to go. Where? Where do we need to go? That depends where you want to go. We want to go to heaven, and we want our church to be open also. So I'm ready to go to the other side of the freeway, to that building. Called Vertical Light Church. Amen? So the Word of God says, that day, when evening came, listen to this, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. This is Jesus speaking. You know, we need to go to the side that the Lord is taking us to. Wow. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We need to go to that side. We need to cross over. Jesus had done, he had been in a city and ministering to so many people. So he gathers his disciples and he tells them, let's go to the other side of the sea. And so when his disciples get on the boat, and I know you read this in the Bible many times, but it talks that as they were on the boat, a storm came, a wind came, started blowing really hard, very powerful wind. And Jesus was sleeping in the bottom of the boat. And the disciples begin to worry. They begin to see the clouds forming. They begin to feel the wind getting stronger. And all of a sudden, the waves begin to move and start hitting the boat. And as they're there, the disciples begin to worry. And they begin to say, oh my goodness, what is happening? And some of them say, we're going to drown. Now, I don't know if they knew how to swim. But even if they were good swimmers, they knew what they were talking about. They were in the ocean. And so, when they're there, fear begins to come over their lives. Fear of not seeing their loved ones, or maybe someone had a fear about his finances. Who knows? But these men had been with Jesus for a period of time. They had seen the miracles that he made. They had seen so many things happen in the ministry of Jesus. But yet, and they believed who Jesus was. The Messiah. But when they're on the boat, and when the circumstances begin to change, the atmosphere begins to change, they begin to worry, and fear comes over them. And this is what the enemy tries to do with us. He tries to bring fear into our lives. And once we accept fear, then my goodness, we're going to have a hard time. So the disciples, they said, what should we do? What should we do? The boat is going to sink and we're all going to drown. Who's going to help us? They forgot who was in the boat with them. They had seen him do miracles. They knew he was the Messiah. But what happened to them for a period of time, for a short period of time? They forgot who was in the boat with them. You know, and a lot of times we need to let go of things in our lives that hold us back. I don't know what it might be in your life, but a lot of times it's the past that will try to bring, to come into your future, into your now, like nostalgia, remembering something from so many years ago that will not let you go walk forward. It might be an unresolved trauma or conflict from the past that is haunting you. Maybe it's childhood trauma or severe conflict, you know, something that happened in your past. that will try to hold you back for reaching your now, your future. See, a lot of times we find it difficult to let go of certain things in our lives. And we need to let those things go. Okay? We need to let them go. Because otherwise, we won't go to the other side. We won't cross to the other side. We forget who Jesus is in our lives. We forget the miracles that we have seen. We forget what He has taught us throughout the years in our relationship with Him. We forget because of the circumstances, because of the sickness, because of the problem that's in front of us. See? And a lot of times, we also resist to change. We don't like change in our lives. You know? There's certain people that love their car, and they've been driving their car since it was made 20, 30 years ago. But they love that car, and God wants to bless them with a new car. But they love the old car. Oh, no, I'm not going to change this, you know? And the thing is, you have to accept change. You know? You have to have the mindset of Christ. A lot of times it might be toxic guilt. Living in the past is not only about focusing on the good sides of it. Sometimes it's mental habit makes you recall painful, isn't it? And uncomfortable memories. And blame yourself for the things that happened long, long ago. And if we need to go to the other side with Jesus, we need to let those things go because those things can hold us back. Something that can hold us back could be you hold grudges against people. You dwell in the past offenses and feel bitterness for the things the other people did to you years ago. Not now, years ago. You feel resentful when someone is trying to explain their behavior or convince you to forgive them. And we need to go to the other side, just like Jesus said. We need to overcome those things, and we need to forget those things, because the Lord has forgotten those things. But yet, we as humans sometimes tend to bring those things back into our future. And those things will hold us back from reaching our full potential. You understand? Sometimes we have comparisons. We compare the past. If you're holding on the past, you're addicted to comparing everything you have today with the things you used to have before. Before I was better off. I had a better job. I'm serving God, and it's like everything breaks loose against me. In my job, in my family, in my relationship as husband and wife, in my family, with my neighbors. See, maybe you compare the past to yourself, and those things we need to let go. Today, I want to talk to you, about a man that was demon possessed in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 26. A man that was possessed with a demon. See, if Jesus had not gone to the other side, he wouldn't have encountered this man that was demon possessed. See, with the disciples, when the storm was hitting them hard, they begin to fear. And that's the first thing that the enemy brings into our lives. Fear. What if? What if not? What if this will happen? What if I die? What if I get sick? What if things don't work out? See, and we need to cross to the other side. Just like Jesus. Amen. The disciples had seen Jesus do the miracles, but they forgot who was with them. And other times we forget who is with us. We see the giant. We see the situation in front of us that's greater than Jesus. And we focus our sight or our thoughts into that situation, and we forget that Jesus is right next to us. And like that, we say, Jesus, where are you? Where are you? Why have you left me? But we cannot see that He is near us because that situation does not let us see clearly. And we forget that He is right next to us. That's how the Lord is. Amen. And the Word of God, this man, I don't know his name, but it says in verse 26, then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite to Galilee. Verse 27. And when he stepped on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons. Listen, okay? had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. See, when the man or the woman is living in sin, and when that person is actually living among the dead. But when Jesus comes into their lives, they begin to live among the live people, the people that are alive. And verse 28, it says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell before him. Now, Jesus didn't go over there and talk to him. This demon knew who Jesus was. And when Jesus gets out of the boat, he goes and he talks to Jesus. It says here, when he saw Jesus, he cried out, listen, and he fell down before him. Okay? And with a loud voice said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High? You know, demons know who Jesus is. They tremble in his name. And you and me, who lives in us? Jesus. So a lot of times when we confront the enemy, he's going to tremble and flee. Why? Not because we're good looking, but not because we're super smart. It is because who lives in us? See, we have to reflect Jesus in our lives. Jesus has to be reflected in who we are, in our thoughts, the way we think, the way we act, the way we talk, the way we walk. He says, Son of the Most High, I beg you, do not torment me. Hello? Huh? Verse 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of men, for he had often seized them, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. Just imagine a person that's been bounded like that for years and years. Huh? And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. And Jesus, further down, you know, let us read, because I don't want to lose this. And he kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. And he broke the hands and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And I was reading the scripture. I said, okay, Lord, wait a minute. You're Jesus, right? You're my Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God, one of the Trinity. You must have known this demon's name. But why do you ask him for his name, who he is? Okay? He asked him, who are you? Jesus knew. Jesus knew exactly who he was. But let us keep reading and then we'll talk. Okay? Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion. Listen, because many demons had entered him. Many demons had entered him, okay? And they begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the men and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. Okay? Here we have a demon. Okay? The thing is, let us continue in verse 34. When those who had fed him saw what had happened, they fled and told it to the city and the country. And they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man, okay, clothed in his right mind. Listen, isn't that beautiful? This is what Jesus does to us. Before we were living in sin, we come into the light. Mm-hmm. And he transforms us, he cleans us. He changed our mindset, the way we think, instantly. You know? Why did Jesus ask the demon his name? It wasn't that Jesus didn't know. It was that Jesus wanted to teach us something in the now. Us, you and me. Okay? Because when the demon spoke, he said that there were many. It wasn't just one. Okay? And further down, it says that it was a legion. And how many is a legion? 2,000. So this man had 2,000 demons in him. Just imagine? One demon can cause so much trouble into a person's life. Just imagine 2,000 demons. And what man? Now who knows how they became to possess him? Who knows? We're not going to find out about that. What we want to say is how he was delivered. How the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, came. And instantly he came and he bowed before him. And he said, Jesus, why have you come to torment me? 2,000. Now why would you? That's why I think that Jesus said, ask them, what is your name? Because he wanted us, the church, to know this. Okay? He wanted us to know this. This man was bound. He was in the tombs. He was in the cemetery. That's where he lived. But when Jesus came and set him free, you know, he was free. The Bible says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. He was completely changed. He was transformed, completely transformed. You know, in Mark chapter 5, verse 18 to 20, Jesus said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Listen, when Jesus comes into our heart and transforms our lives, we have it in us to go tell other people what the Lord has done for us. You don't have to be a theologian or anything like that to speak to other people. To tell them, just begin with the testimony. Begin with something that God did in your lives. That things like how he transformed you. How he came and how he healed your body. How he came and he set your mind free of anxiety, of depression. How he came and he set you free. That's all we got to say. We don't have to be, like I said, a theologian that has to have the Bible, that has to know the Bible in and out. See, this man, he wanted to follow Jesus. Oh, Master, I want to know you. And what happens when Jesus saves us? Oh, man, we're so happy. We're in our first love. And we don't want to live. We want to be living in church. We're going to have services every night. We go to the pastor. We say, Pastor, are we having a service tomorrow? No, we're not. We're having it on Wednesday. Oh, I wish it could be tomorrow already. Why? Because that person is so thankful of what the Lord has done for him, that he doesn't want to leave. He wants to stay because he thinks by staying in the church or coming to the services that he's going to be close to Jesus. Huh? This is beautiful. This is beautiful. Listen. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis. Remember the word Decapolis. Remember that, okay? How much Jesus had done for him and everyone marvel, okay? The word Decapolis in Greek means, deca means 10. Deca means 10. And polis means cities. Okay? What this person did, if we read this, Mark chapter 5, verse 18 to 20, it said, Jesus told him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim it in Decapolis. 10 cities. He went to 10 cities to evangelize, to witness to others how he was set free by Jesus. There was a man with a lot of some guys, and they looked kind of weird. It seemed like, you know, they hadn't slept all night. I'm sure the disciples had not slept. They were worried. They had fear in them. And all of a sudden, I see this man giving up this bowl. And when I see this man, whatever was possessing me, it made me go to the ground. And all I can remember now is that I was set free. And he set me free. And that's why I'm here trying to tell you what he did in my life. And what he did in my life, he can do in your life. He can transform you. He can change you. If you are sick, go on him. He will heal you. He will bring healing to your life. This is what Jesus did for me. I live among the dead for so many years with chains and everything. I would break the chains and everything. But now I'm a new person. He transformed me. He changed my mind. He changed even my body. I'm not going like cannot talk. And this is what I want to tell you. So in 10 cities, okay? John Calvin comments, and he says, by the devil, yet he holds us as his slaves. Because a lot of times, there are things in our lives. You're no good. You keep failing all the time. This is the devil saying these things to you. Now, he doesn't come physically. He comes and attacks your mind. Because he knows if he can attack your mind, he's going to have you chained. Just like he did this man. And your emotions. And your life. You won't be able to enjoy life. You won't be able to smile. There's people that haven't smiled in years. And they went in the church, inside the church. Why? Why? Why keep letting the devil come and tie you down once again? You know, in your thoughts, in your body. And then when that happens, we forget who Jesus is and who Jesus is in our lives. And we let that situation, that problem, that sickness come and overwhelm us. And what happens? We forget who is with us. The Lord Himself is with us. His Holy Presence is with us. See, a lot of times we confront so many things. Fear comes over us. And that's what comes and breaks us. That comes what ties us down. Fear. And we need to let the fear go. We need to let it go. You know? We just came back from Mexico. We were ministering over there. It was a fast trip. My goodness. We had to leave on Wednesday morning. And right before we left, I lost the keys to my truck. And we were taking some chairs to a small church over there that needs them. Really bad. That needed them so bad. And we got so many things that we're taking to the churches over there. And all of a sudden, I don't have a key. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, what is going on? You got to really comprehend. You got to take time to say, Lord, what is happening, Father? You're with me. This is what we're going to do. You're coming with us. And so we ended up getting a key, but it held us back for like 2 hours. But the locksmith came to do a new key. So he hopped on the truck and giving it to leave. See, from the beginning, the enemy tried to hold us back in what way? Any way that he could. But we knew who was with us. And we called on his name. And the Lord did beautiful things over there. He moved in a marvelous way. We saw people being saved. People that were demon-possessed being set free. People that were sick were healed. And you know, and I told the people, I said, listen. If you think that I, as a man, am going to heal you, or it's going to set you free, you're totally wrong. You need to take that mindset or that thought out of your head. And put Jesus in the middle, because he's the one that's going to do all of this. Amen. And he began to do beautiful things. See, this is what happens. A lot of times we need to let go of things. We don't want to cross to the other side. We don't want to go over there. When, you know, I was thinking, I said, the other side, what is the other side? The other side is the side where Jesus wants you to go, where he wants you to be in your relationship with him. It is not time to be wasted. It is a time to get into a relationship with Christ and begin to search for him and begin to talk to him, you know, more and more and more. You know, sometimes when I'm in my car, I begin to talk and I have Jesus on the passenger side. And I begin to talk and everything. And people see me and they say, man, that guy is crazy. He's talking to himself. Or maybe he's on the phone. You know, I'm actually talking to the Lord. It is beautiful because his presence overwhelms me. See, and that's what needs to happen in our lives. Sometimes we think that we're not worthy because of the things that we did, or because of the things that we tend to fall back on, because of the things that come when the enemy comes and he puts in our mind, or he tries to tie us down again. That's when we need to say, devil, flee in the name of Jesus. Leave me alone. Leave my thoughts alone. And replace those thoughts with the Word of God. See, because a lot of times, God has called you. He has placed on you something so beautiful. But we tend to hold back because we make a lot of excuses. We have a lot of excuses. You know, we don't believe that He can heal us. There have been times where I'm in pain or something. You know, as you get older, these things begin to happen to you. And I notice these things, I'm like, oh. And then I be calling His name and I pray. And a lot of times we want people to pray for us, but a lot of times those people are not going to be near us. So you got to learn to be positive and get your hand and just put it over your head. Get some oil and anoint yourself in the name of Jesus and pour it down in your head. You know? And then react after you pray for yourself. Oh, someone prays for you, you still feel a little bit of pain. Oh, I still have it. How do you feel? I don't feel good still, Pastor. I still have a little pain. Okay, let's pray again. How do you feel? Well, kind of still there. You know, you have to pray. You have to believe. Amen. What is faith? You know, faith is something that is there that I don't see. But I know it's there. Just like His presence. I know He's here. I know He's next to me. But what happens? I have to believe that He's right there with me. But a lot of times, those circumstances don't let you see that He's right next to you. When you cry, when you feel lonely, when you feel like everyone has abandoned you, when you feel that your family has abandoned you, when you don't receive a phone call from your son or your daughter in months, and you begin to feel, oh, neglected, you begin to feel that they have forgotten about you. You see, you got to remember what the Lord has said to us in His Word. Go to the Word. Open the Word. Not Brother Wayne, okay? His last name is Word. But go to the Word, you know? And open the Word. And tell Lord God, speak to me. And I guarantee you, God is going to speak to you. You know? Or before you go to sleep, pray over your household. Pray over your children, you know? I believe that the man is the priest of the house. And the man has a responsibility for interceding for his wife and his children. It is very important for you to do this. This is you telling the devil, showing to all the demonic atmosphere that you are a priest of the Most High God of your home. And you have the responsibility to protect your family, to protect your wife, to protect your children. You might not be a person from the army or you might be, you know, built. No, it's by the Word. It's by His Spirit. Amen. You see? So we have to let those things go and we need to go forward. See, God has been trying to lead you into a promised land, but you've been holding back because you're afraid of what you may encounter in your life. And we need to go forward. It doesn't matter what we might face. You know, Joshua and Caleb, they went to the promised land, and 10 other people went with them, and the other 10 came back and had some really bad news for the people. And they began to speak to the people, and the people in fear began to move on among the people. But Joshua and Caleb said, no, wait a minute. Yeah, there are giants over there. We saw them. Yeah, we saw them. They're big, you know. They're humongous, and they seem powerful. But guess what? Greater is He that's been with me than who those people are over there. Yes, we might be so short compared to them. But guess what? It is a land of milk and honey. Huh? But if you look at the other 10, they brought bad news. Why does bad news spread so fast instead of the good news? Why don't we believe the sad things first? You know, I don't even watch the news no more. To me, they're not news. They should change that. It shouldn't even be news. You know, because you see nothing but calamity. You see nothing but suffering. You see nothing but killings. That's all you see. I don't want to nurture my mind with all of that. See, because the enemy is going to use those things to bring fear into your heart, into your person, into your head, into your brain. He's going to pump that fear into you. You know, we need to remember that we have to go to the other side. We need to. When I was reading this, where the Lord began to minister me in a different way. You know, we need to move in faith. We need to move believing that God is going to do something powerful. You know, a week ago, we had a pastor that came from Mexico. And he says, Pastor, I came all the way from Monterrey, Mexico, just for one thing that the Lord sent me here to Dallas to do. I was in Houston ministry. I didn't need to come to Dallas, but the Lord sent me here to you. I said, okay. I feel important. I feel that he cares about me. You see? You see how that is? And he said, we need to go to your church. Well, take me to it. The Lord said that we need to get a bunch of oil, praying oil, not car oil, okay? Praying oil. And to go and pray outside the building. And let all that oil flow in the grass and the concrete, all outside, our surrounding the building. And we did that for 3 hours. We were praying, we were interceding. And he says, you know, Pastor, you're going to carry the oil because you're pastor of this house. And you're going to put your hand in the oil, you're going to drop it all over on the floor, on the walls of this building. Because the enemy knows the pastors of this house. And my goodness, it was so powerful. Boy, it was 3 hours. It seemed like 15, 20 minutes. See, we need to act in faith. And we need to believe. And we need to let the Lord take us to the other side. Let ourselves be taken by the Lord to the other side of Highway 30. See? And when Brother Don mentioned that, I said, my gosh, this is Lord, I like this, Lord. Huh? Because that's speaking in your actions. And people are going to say, what are those crazy people doing outside sitting in church tables? Why are they inside the building? Why do they have to be outside? Because there's a purpose and there's a reason. You know what I mean? And God is going to do what he needs to do. I really believe that. You know, I really believe that. We have to go to the other side. We need to stop being comfortable in the place that we're in. In the situation we're in. I don't want to continue in sickness. I don't want to continue in being with anxiety or depression. I don't want to continue with those things. I want to be able to feel free. I want to break through. Just as this man, the Lord set him free. I want Jesus to set me free on my thoughts, my emotions. See, because we don't move by our thoughts or emotions. We move by the Word and His Holy Spirit. That's how we move. We move under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, under the anointing of the Lord, so he can take us to where he wants to take us, so he can use our lives in a mighty and powerful way, not for our own recognition, but to recognize him and say, glory to God. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? So yeah, he wants to set us free. He wants to set you free of your emotions, of the thoughts that come and bind you sometimes, and they don't let you move or go forward. See, a lot, when a person becomes discouraged, they hide in things. They go and hide. If they have a job, they'll go to their job and they'll be there. If they could live there for 24 hours, they could be in the job for 24 hours. Because they go and they hide themselves like that. Because they don't want to uncover what God is showing them. They don't want to believe what God is showing to them. See, and this is what we need to do as his people. We need to let everything go. You know, when we came, when we moved from the other building, when COVID came, we got close to 120 people over there in the other building. And when COVID came and it hit us, my goodness, we went down to 60. But we opened the building again, only 60 came back. The rest is the pastor, whenever COVID is over, we'll be back in church. And I said, you're never going to come back, brother. Sister, you're never going to come back. Don't leave. That's what the enemy wants. He's deceiving you. And they didn't listen. They went and they haven't come back. They're lost now in the world. And then we we move into the new building, the 60 that I have goes down to less than 30 because they don't want to move to the new building. I had people come and tell me, Pastor, you're doing it wrong. You don't have no vision. This is what I have. I have a bunch of people telling me different things. And I didn't believe those things. I knew God had a purpose with us as a church. And He has a purpose for His church, for Miracle Life Church. He has a purpose. And He will come and He will fulfill the purpose. Yeah. Even if He has to pull you, if He has to get a rope and tie you down and bring you, He's going to do it. Because that's what He does best. You know? And so we left with 30-something people. Like, God, it's like starting all over. Lord, I don't want to start all over, Lord. Lord, help out. Lord. But then, we get thrown out of our church by the city. Yeah, the city of SKU. I just want to say that God is in control. And believe that God is going to do something. We believe it. He's already doing something. He's going to touch a lot of those officials. He's going to break them down. And then say, you know what we did wrong? Go back into your building. See, and when we're left with 30 people, and guess what? Thinking that we're into a hotel, three more families leave and say, we don't want to go to a hotel. We'll come back when you open the church again. The same thing I told that group, don't go. The enemy's going to deceive you. You're not going to come back. It's a trap. Don't go. Then listen. But here in this place, we're beginning to grow. We see new families come with their children. We see young people come. We see children come. We see single women come, single parent women come. We're growing. Believe it or not, we're hitting 90-something people in the living room. Over 90 people. And we get new families. Just last week, I was talking to the ladies in the reception right there, the clerks. And I began to talk to them about Jesus Christ. And I began to share, this is what Jesus wants, as He wants to take us to the other side. We've been in the comfort zone for too long. He wants to take us to the other side, people. Amen. You know, I began to talk to this lady. And God gave me a word. And I began to talk to this lady. And guess what? She begins to cry as I'm talking to her. There in the lobby. She begins to cry and cry. And I said, daughter. She said, why do you call me daughter? I don't know. I just call you daughter. Daughter, why are you crying? She said, because everything you're saying is true. I said, well, your father wants you to come back. Come back to him. She said, how do I do that? I've been a really bad person. I've done so many bad things. I don't think he can forgive me. I knew him one time I went into the world and I lived in the world and I did so many things. My life is upside down now. I said, he loves you. No matter what you've done, you gotta let those things go. Let those things go. Whatever happened in the past, let it go. Because God wants to create something new in you today. Amen. And you know what she said after we talked to her? I said, well, I gotta let you go, but I invite you next Sunday. So this Sunday she's supposed to come. She's a worker from this hotel. And the other lady that was next to her, she said, I want to bring my children too. Can I bring them? I said, you bring them next Sunday at 12:30. And to the lady, you know what? We're gonna be going to Mexico. We're gonna be ministering over there. It says, what part of Mexico are you going? I said, Piedras Negras. He said, wait a minute, that's my hometown. I used to go to church there. I was active in church there. I said, really? She said, what church are you going to? And I tell her the name. She said, oh my gosh, that's my pastor. He used to pastor me in Mexico. I said, see how God works. So God wants to take us to the other side. Would you allow him to lead you and take you out of that situation and bring you into the new you, into the new person that he wants you to be? Huh? Are you going to take the blessing? See, a lot of times we don't take the blessing. He wants to bless us. Because no, God, I don't deserve God. I don't deserve that. You know, I'm not worthy. Don't put yourself down. Stop putting yourself down. That is not good. If the enemy wants to put you down, you bring the word and you speak the word to him and rebuke them in the name of Jesus. See, just as this man had all these demons inside him, the Lord set him free. And you are free. But let those things from the past, then whatever is holding you, oh, it's because I feel not worthy, because I've done so many bad things. Oh, no, it's because, you know, I know what the word says, and I can't, because, you know, I'm disobeying the word, and I'm not doing what God says, and I'm doing some bad things I'm not supposed to do. Hey, come to the other side. Come where Jesus is, where he wants you to be, in a strong relationship with him. You know, where you can break bread with him, when you sit down and talk to the master. Let us stand up and let us pray. Amen. God is so good, man.
Amen.
He does so beautiful things. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, we as Christians, he surprises us. We're not supposed to get surprised because we know who he is and things that he knows how to do. But as humans, we get surprised. Wow! I didn't know he could do that. Wow! You believe what he did? Look what he did over there. Wow! Look at that. He does that all the time. Amen? He can do it with you. You know, as a church. Let us go to the other side of Highway 30. Let us go. Let us believe God. Let us begin to take action. See, one thing is to say something, the other thing is to action. Take action, to do it actually. You know, God will do it. Greater is he that's in us than that who is in the world. Greater is he. You know, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. Because I know you have spoken to your people. And I know, Lord, there is courage in them. But Father, sometimes we think, we say, oh, that other brother, that other sister, they're going to do it. I'm going to stay behind. My bones hurt me. I have pains all over my body. I let the young people, the more young people, I let these other people do it. Not me. So Lord, sometimes we say, I don't deserve this. But sometimes we put ourselves down, Father, saying, I can't do this when we can. Because your word says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I can do those things, Father. I can do them. Wait within me. Wake me up in a way where I can be the light. In a way where I can attract other souls. Father, I thank you and I pray for the church. I pray, Father, for all the leaders in the church. I pray for Pastor Keith, our pastor, Lord. May you bless them. May you protect them. Would you surround them, Lord? Surround them, Father. Because we know pretty soon we're going to be going to the other side of 30. I believe that, Father. I believe that with all of my heart. That we're going to go to the other side of 30, Father, with you, Jesus. Things, Father. Because there's no weapon formed against the church that will prosper. There's no word spoken against the church that will prosper. Because you are mighty, powerful, Lord. And you're a safekeeper and a protector. Lord, I thank you for the building that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for the people that support this ministry. Bless them in a marvelous way, Lord. Impress them, surprise them, Father. Just like you know how to do, Lord. And I thank you, and I give you glory today, Father. Amen. want to pray for you. If you are here and you need prayer, come. You know, I just came from Mexico. And I was so surprised to see what happened over there. People were falling on the floor. So powerful, the presence of God. There was a pastor that called me last night. He said, "Pastor, we're going to have a revival with you over here. We got 27 churches that are going to come together. We're going to rent a big auditorium. We're going to have a revival for 5 days. I said, "Listen, let us pray about that. Because we don't move, okay, I'll go." No, we have to pray to the Lord. We have to pray and bring this into prayer. That same God that did miracles over there is here this morning. He wants to bring clearness. And He wants to come and comfort you. Amen. So if you need prayer, come. We'll pray. Just you and me. Lord, bring new strength to your people. Bring, Father,